Rich Moore is a mountain biker here in Chattanooga. On YouTube, he's known as Semi-Cindy.
I wasn't looking to win any cross-country races, but rather, I wanted a light and efficient bike that still liked to party. Something with all-day efficiency and comfort that could still stay composed when tackling more technical trails at speed.
Where he takes you on his mountain biking adventures. Rich, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
You grew up in the Roanoke, Virginia area. When you were 8 years old, you picked up cycling.
I did. I guess that was when I got my first mountain bike. I started riding a bike at a younger age. It was on training wheels. And then I don't know what age I was when we took the training wheels off. My dad thinks maybe sometime around 5 or 6. So I'm 41. And this would be in the 80s. My first quote-unquote mountain bike was a Schwinn Frontier, and it was just a steel bike with no suspension on it, and it was actually referred to as an ATB, an all-terrain bicycle at the time, but it was an early version of what mountain bikes were. At the time, that's what mountain bikes were. And I lived up on a mountain right off the Blue Ridge Parkway, and my neighbors down the street, the woods behind their house had a connector trail that connected over to a series of trails off the Blue Ridge Parkway. At this point in time, though, in the 80s, mountain biking wasn't really recognized much by municipalities. And so the legalities of riding mountain bikes were all gray area. There were no motorized vehicle signs, but other than that, there was really nothing stating much of anything. And there were just hiking trails. So if you wanted to ride your bike on trails, you just kind of had to find some trails and try to ride them and see how things went. Luckily, the rangers up there were pretty cool about it. And we were all kids, you know, at the time. And I think they were just kind of thought it was neat seeing us out riding through the trails back there and back in the campground area and whatnot. And as time went on, we reached out to some further, you know, some outlying areas outside of town, and particularly a place called Carbon's Cove, which is now a really popular mountain bike trail system just outside of Roanoke. But at the time, it wasn't. The trails existed, and mountain biking wasn't actually legal there until, I don't know, a decade or two ago.
And you brought your passion for mountain biking when you came to this area.
I did. Yeah. I moved here 5 years ago. Lived in a lot of different places after, once I graduated high school, I left Roanoke and lived in various different parts of the country. And previous to here, I lived in Asheville, North Carolina for a good long time, and then came here 5 years ago, and I love it. Chattanooga is awesome.
And plenty of opportunities to experience it on a mountain bike over and over again.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And Chattanooga itself is just, if you're into outdoor activities, it is just perfect because you have hiking, mountain biking, of course, rock climbing, whitewater kayaking, or even flat water, stand-up paddle boarding, recreational boating, everything you can imagine under the sun is right here in town and right at pretty much at our doorsteps. You know, a lot of people think of Asheville, North Carolina as being this great outdoor city, and it is in a really incredible part of the world, but it's a minimal 45-minute drive to get into the true outdoors or wilderness areas. And here, that's not the case. In 5 minutes, I can be at a trailhead and feel like I'm completely outside of the city, which is unbelievable. It's, I think, the best kept secret in the Southeast for outdoor recreation. It's not so much a secret, but, you know.
Well, people such as you who are outdoors enthusiasts, you all have that in common. You all say something like what you just said.
We're lucky. Good people here too. The people really make Chattanooga a special place. It feels like I've been here so much longer than 5 years.
When did you decide to pick up a camera and film what you do?
Well, as far as specifically what I'm doing now, I didn't decide that until a year ago. I have a film company. I do documentaries, commercial advertising, etc., things of that nature through that film company. I got into photography at a very young age. And so this has kind of just been a progression to get here to this point.
And your dad is an amateur photographer.
Yes. You know, I first got interested in photography just from him. And he had a Nikon film camera. I'm trying to remember what body camera he had. It was really nice old film camera. And I was always super intrigued by it. I remember sneaking into the room that he kept it in and the drawer that he kept it in. I would just open the drawer and look at the camera. I don't know why. I have no idea why I was so fascinated with it, but I guess it was something I was just drawn to.
What is it like to film what you're doing? Because you're having to coordinate both of those things at once. You might have help, but still, it's another layer of challenge.
Yeah, it's interesting. And in fact, right now, 99% of, you know, any of the camera work, et cetera, I'm doing it myself. I just don't have the budget yet to hire anybody to help with that. Not for this aspect of things. So it'd be nice if it gets to that point at some time to make things a lot easier. It could be some long days out filming for sure. Setting up camera angles and whatnot. It's a lot of work.
How much do you have to stage cameras along where you ride versus wearing a camera versus mounting a camera on what you're riding?
GoPros are kind of the popular thing with outdoor sports and filming and whatnot, and you can get the point of view, POV, so to say. And that's easy. You put the camera on and you go, hit record and start riding. The tricky part are going to be all the third person shots where it's a camera that's physically set up somewhere along the trail to capture a section. And the way that works, I don't just put a whole bunch of cameras out down a trail or anything like that. I just take one. I have a system where I can quickly pack and unpack it. But I go to a section of trail that I think is intriguing and would film well. And I set up different angles and I shoot each angle one by one by one, then put it all together in the editing process afterwards.
And you've done long distance riding. You focus more now on gravity trails, and you have started to get into downhill racing, something that you didn't think you'd ever do.
Yeah, you've done your homework. I always was kind of a cross country rider growing up through my teens and 20s. The last decade, like in my 30s, I was still riding cross country long trail rides, mostly out in Pisgah National Forest, but I had a new passion there for a while. It's still one of my passions, but it was whitewater canoeing, and that kind of took precedence for a good bit. And when I moved to Chattanooga, I'd still ride cross country, but more just kind of like tertiary fitness type stuff, cross training type stuff. It really wasn't until Allison got into, she's my girlfriend, she got into mountain biking a couple years ago and totally fell in love with it. And, you know, of course, it was easy for me to switch gears back into that. And that really, really manifested in a different way this time around. And I never really thought I'd be the type of person to do a lot much gravity riding. And gravity riding specifically typically refers to downhill focused riding where you're not so much generating that much of the speed out of pedal force, but more from just the sheer steepness and speed of the trail and the use of gravity. A lot of times people either shuttle up with big burly bikes to do that, whether that's at a bike park, up a chairlift, or through an actual vehicle shuttle, or maybe they do some shuttling on some trail systems that are public. Shuttling at Raccoon is actually a pretty popular way of riding the trail system there. I wouldn't call that gravity riding because it's still very much earned. Even if you shuttle laps up a Raccoon, you are doing a good bit of pedaling, but you can get a lot more done. You can do a couple shuttles. So it's been really cool to kind of dip my toes into this different aspect of riding. I still trail ride. I still do long distance, cross country trail, backcountry type rides, but this new facet has been really fun to explore. I try to cover everything on the channel though.
And where did the name Semi-Cindy come from?
It's a good question. The name actually was kind of a joke. In the whitewater community, I have a whole bunch of Canadian friends. I'm one of those weird people in the whitewater world that instead of using the logical craft, which is a kayak, I use a canoe and make things more difficult on myself. And so as it turns out, Canadians, their two big pastimes are, you know, hockey and canoeing. And so you have a lot of people in the whitewater community and Canada actually are whitewater canoeists. So, or open boaters is another way to refer to that. But the group of friends I have up there, that they're just hilarious. They all have a great sense of humor, easygoing, really fun people to hang out with. And we're very much kind of the sort of crew that loves to just poke fun at ourselves for canoeing. And so we always joked about, you know, why the term being Cindy, you know, being really good at something and going really big and XYZ. We always kind of joked it, like, why be Cindy when you could just, you know, be semi Cindy and have a lot of fun along the way. So when I made the channel, I couldn't really think of anything. And I was like, just be semi Cindy. That keeps the pressure off. Now I don't have to do anything crazy.
I think you nailed the name. Beyond having the experience, beyond sharing the experience with people through the channel, there's some things that you'd like people who watch the channel to take away from it.
I think the things that I want to convey are just to get out there and experience things, try things outside of your comfort zone. A lot of times you can learn a lot about yourself and find some really unique rewards in that process. And to not take yourself too seriously while doing it. Remember that it's all about the experience. It's all about the fun. It's about the camaraderie. It's about the natural world around you. And another piece that'll become more and more of a prominent component of the channel is advocacy. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for advocacy for various different things in the natural world, as far as whether that's getting access to new trails or whether it's just cleanup days, maintenance days, being a good steward in general, but also not just of the environment, but of other people out and about, being a good representation of what mountain bikers are, you know, and respecting other users out there and just, I don't know, in general, just having a good time and sharing the love of it.
And where can people go online to keep up on the channel?
The channel is a YouTube channel. You can type in semi, S-E-M-I dash Cindy, S-E-N-D-Y into the YouTube search, and that'll pull it right up. You can also find me on Instagram with the exact same handle. Those are the two best places right now to follow what I'm doing.
All right, Rich, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray. I appreciate it. It's good to be here.